Hallelujah! Lift your voices to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prophet of God said that darkest hour is usually when he shows up. But Lord, I want to be in your presence. Well, might have to go through a dark time. Might have to not be so comfortable down here in Laodicea and raise up somewhere else. That's right. A lot of us got it all mixed up. Jesus said the flesh don't profit anything. So if it's just all, I don't know. If there's no rebuke, I don't know. There's something wrong somewhere. That's right. We ought to not be comfortable down here. Can you say amen? You shouldn't fit in. You shouldn't be, you know, just ready to retire. I got retirement. That's right. I got one I'm going to. And it's not STIRS. That's right. That's my state teacher or whatever. By the time I'd get there, brother, it'd be done. That's right. They'll close it up. I'll have to teach so many years, I'll never be able to get that old. That's right. Don't put no hopes down here. Right. Put your hopes in what we have. Amen. Not going to get what we have. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in God's house tonight. It's good to feel the inspiration of God. I don't know where I'd be without it. Amen. Not here, that's for sure. I'd be sitting on the couch or something. Praise God, I'm not. Amen. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles tonight. Hebrews chapter 1, it's good to see each one that can make it out. Appreciate the front getting fuller and the back getting more empty. It helps. Yep. It does. People can argue and fuss, say all that other stuff, but I'll tell you what, when you're right in front of me, I'm about the only thing you're allowed to see. Yep. Physically speaking, right? It's a little harder to be distracted, but some of these guys sit in the back too. I understand that. We only got three rows here. Somebody's got to be back there, and man, you know, I can't help but think if Brother Brandon was your pastor, what would you say? Ooh, brother, you can't say that. Come on, don't get under my cover. I did that to Josh Tucker one time. He's talking about. He's like, well, you know, I might go a little 5-over or something once in a while. I said, brother, that ain't what the prophet said. He's like, man. He's like, you're right, brother. And then I got on about something else. I wish I could remember, but he's like, man, brother, you're doing this to me now. You already took my 5-over. Leave me alone. Like, I'm sorry, brother. Just got to tell you the truth. I love you too much to lie. Amen. I might be wrong here and there, but there's one thing for sure. I believe in being sincere. If I'm going to do it with all your heart. Ain't no point in being halfway. So if you got your Bible tonight, Hebrews chapter 1. Let's just read right here as we stand for the reading of the Word. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. I thought Brother Branham made up who the fathers were. Called that earlier today. Who were the fathers? The Jews. Amen. That's perfectly scriptural. Hallelujah. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, we're going to hold on to that, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. 1 Peter, if you just want to turn a few pages over there. 1 Peter 2. Verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I like to preach tonight, simply put, God's idol. Ooh, man, what's he going to get at now? God's idol. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Do you believe he's here tonight?
Amen.
Did you come to hear from him?
Amen.
Believe he already knows before you even ask what you're going to ask. But he still commanded us, ask and you shall receive. Is there anything on your heart tonight you'd like to lift to the Lord? God bless you, brother and sister. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, Lord. And we think of every, you're so good, Lord. We just got done singing it. You're so good. Every time we have a need, you're there, Father. And before we even recognized we had a need, you were working on getting it settled years before it even got here. And we're so happy for a God that's on time. It doesn't matter if he's 4 days late. He was still right on time for Lazarus, bringing him out of the grave. And you've done the same for us, Lord. Some of us born out of season, but praise God we've got the Holy Ghost tonight. You've prepared us, Lord, for the end time. You've sent us a message to get us ready. Lord, I pray that tonight would just be one more step closer. Lord, one more revelation, Lord, that we'll know that you're coming soon and that we're ready for that coming, that we're looking for it, Lord, and that the reason you're coming is to get us, Father. If there's anything in between us and you, we pray you forgive us, Lord, and help us to make it right and to do the things that would be pleasing in your sight. Take this voice, take this body that you've put on earth here in this office and use it to feed the children of God tonight. We open up our hearts wide and say, Lord, whatever you have for us, we want to eat it up with all our hearts. We commit the service to your hands. Heal our sicknesses. Save our lost loved ones. Save those that are in darkness and need deliverance tonight, Lord. And hear the hearts of your people, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I'm happy to be a Christian, brother, sister. I'll tell you what, the more I think about it, the more I watch people grope around and not have a clue what they're doing or having any ambition in life, don't even, you can't get this. I'm a school teacher, y'all know that, but you can't get this next generation to care. You can't get them to even naturally speaking, like, what are you going to do after high school? Don't care. Well, what do you care about your neighbors? What, you know, used to know who your neighbors were. Now most of us too scared to even go talk to him, afraid they're going to stab us and steal our stuff. Hallelujah. Some of us be honest, some of us will lie, but that's okay. We might as well just tell the truth. I was watching the most amazing thing, and I began to realize that this is true. We lie to ourselves a little too often, brother, sister. It's so much easier just to say the truth, you know, instead of trying to keep up with, well, what did I say here, and what did I do here? And somebody will say, well, were you there, brother? Well, you know, kind of, what are you doing? Just say the truth. And you know what happens? That little seed gets in there. Gets in your life. I don't know. I'm just preaching already, I guess. This ain't notes. It gets in your life. And what does that do? It corrupts everything else. I don't care how much you're blessed. I don't care how much you're healed. I don't care. It just corrupts everything because you know by the Holy Ghost you did wrong. Say, oh, that's just a little white lie. No. Remember what the man said when he crossed over and saw the Shekinah glory there and all alone, everybody else is gone and there's just white in the presence of God. He said, them little bitty things? Big old black things over there. When you think of God and all what he is, I understand he became humble, but he's still the Lord of heaven. He's still the Almighty. He still could say that and we'd all be gone. That's all it would take. God doesn't need us. He chose to have us as his need. He didn't have to do that. He decided to love us. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy? That he said, I want you. You're my need because I want a friend. Come on. Amen. And to think that God wants to tell me that. And then I'm going to come and let some little white lie get between me and this great God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I was watching this little article talking about it, and it said the art of lying. And what was it going through? He said the worst is, especially in this day and age that we're living in, people will lie. They will make up their own lie and then begin to say it so long that they'll actually convince themselves of their own lie. And I begin to realize that can affect any of us. You know, you just think it's a simple thing as just being embarrassed that, you know, I don't want to say it, you know. You drop something and say, oh, I was trying to do this. Yeah. No, you weren't. You just dropped it, man. Just be honest. Because you're afraid to be embarrassed. Afraid of what? Nobody even cares. People do that in church, don't they? Oh, I'm sorry. I just got a little fanatical. No, I was praising Jesus. And I don't really care what anybody else thinks. That's how we ought to be. That's right. And just leave all that go. Hallelujah. God help us to just be sincere and honest and truthful. And you know what? That's probably what's hindering you. I understand the working of the Spirit tonight. And that ain't in my notes. So if you find yourself doing that, here's your message for tonight. Stop. Brother, man, you got some deep word for me? Well, if you get that, maybe we'll get to something deep tonight. Hallelujah. We're talking about idols tonight. We all know what idols are, the things that people worship. They can be anything. We understand that in the Old Testament. They would make idols of stone and of wood. And Aaron did it one time in the children of Israel. They said, Moses has been up there in the mountain 40 days. We're tired of waiting. It's been 50 years. We don't care anymore. Make us gods. Let's bring that right on home. And where'd it come through? Preachers. And what did Aaron do? I just threw the gold in there, and out came this calf. And it just got done saying earlier in the Bible, he fashioned it. He worked on it on detail. And people will do that to the prophet of God. This man just came off of a mountain that you were too afraid to even look at, stayed up there for 40 days, his face was shining, and you're going to lie right to him. That shows you what we are as men without God. And that's Aaron the high priest. I wouldn't have called that man to be that. Ooh, but he was elected. Well, that ain't fair. I'm glad God ain't fair, Brother Roy, because I didn't deserve this. But he chose me anyways. Hallelujah. You think, oh, it ain't fair. Abraham there selling off his wife, lying, cheating, stealing. See, you think I'm trying to condemn you by that. No, you're going to suffer for it. That's what I'm trying to say. He was sitting there lying, backslid, going through trial after trial. And here's a righteous king. He said, I'll take her as my wife, Abimelech. Isn't that right? I'll take that pretty Israelite woman. I'll take Abraham's wife, didn't know his wife, I thought it was a sister. And what happened? The Spirit of God came to that man. He said, I know you're righteous, but unless that sinner boy over there, who's elected, right. He's backslid, but he's elected, right. Unless he prays for you, you're done. Right. Not you, but this whole nation is gone. It won't make it one more generation. You know what I love? He really was a righteous man. He said, you get over here, boy, right now and pray for me. Amen. I love the man that came to Jesus and said, my son's a lunatic. He said, I can't do nothing, but Lord, help me. Just be honest. Amen. Don't put up a front, brother, sister. And look, if you come up for prayer for the same thing 400 times, you got to recognize it wasn't the minister's fault. It wasn't that service fault. It wasn't the prayer wasn't right. Your faith is messed up. That's what's wrong, because I've seen souls, if they believe, that's it. It's settled. It's done. We don't need to talk about it no more. We don't give the devil no more glory. We just thank the Lord, and we walk on with what we have. We've got idols and everything else, but what's the difference between God and all these idols? There's one big difference. You want to know what it is? These idols are dead, and this God lives. He's the only image you're going to find that's alive. That's the definition of who God is. He is life. This is why the carnal mind, he can't figure it out, because he can figure out the stones and how they work. He can figure out, you know, he can figure out the weather to some degree anyways, and all these things of nature. But when it comes down to that blade of grass on the ground, why does that do what it does? Why does that grow? Where does that life come from? Why did that one that looks just like that create this and that one made it something else? It's because it's life. When Jesus talks about this, just listen now. Matthew 22:31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read which was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when they heard this crazy new doctrine that God's still alive, they were astonished at his doctrine. Why? Because they had heard some rabbis quote the same Bible, but their picture of their idol was dead. It was a serpent that just sat there on the wall and they had to break it on the ground. What kind of God is that? It was an Ark of the Covenant that could get stolen by anybody and just traveled all over everywhere. What kind of God is this? They had no revelation that God is, he allowed that. If they forsook him, he forsook them. Well, that ain't very fair. That's the fairest thing I've ever heard. What do you want me to do? If you don't want me around, okay, bye. You know, it would be more rude for me to stay there. Once they said, we don't want the God of Israel, we want Baal, it would be rude of God to just trample over their desire. But God, he's that humble. That's what it is. God will let you have what you want. And that's the problem, is in Laodicea, there are so many idols. I don't care what flesh you have, the devil's got an idol for it. He's got something you can serve. He's got something that you can bow down to, and it can be sports. Come on. It can be politics. It can be anything in the world, video games, some worldly woman, some worldly man. It can be, I'm trying not to, why do y'all do that? I want to just take a little time, you know, and you go pulling, and I got to skip notes, and I got to remember what I already read, and, but I'm not trusting in me anyways. It's in the Lord. People make idols of everything, and we could talk about those things, but I think we understand that that's not God. You're not ignorant of these things. You know that these sports stars, people worship them, and that can influence us at times. Come on. But we know we ought not to give it any time. We know that these politicians that are rising up and promising all these new things, we had a prophet tell us what they're going to do, and we should not put any hope in it. We know it's all big lie and a sham from the core down all the way up, and we shouldn't put any faith in that and worship these men. And I've watched, you used to need discernment, brother, but now you just need to get on Facebook. And you can find this one say this about this, and I like this candidate, blah, blah, blah. What is it? A bunch of intellectual reasoning that has no power behind it anyways, and we've missed the cause of Christ. Well, I like Ben Carson. Why are you getting on him? And I like Donald Trump, and I like this guy, and blah, 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 blah. I like Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm just going to follow him. And I had a prophet tell me he casted his vote. And he said it was for Jesus.
Amen.
That's just a cop-out. Well, I'm copping out of this world, so that's my plan. Listen to this. Who is this? 1959. And he come riding in. Lots of people said, he's a healer. Oh, we've seen him open the eyes of the blind. We've seen him make the cripple to walk. We've seen him offer prayer and the fever left the child. But then those type were only following him for the loaves and the fishes. And that's the way the crowds are today, many. If he's a healer, why? They follow him. He's just an oasis. If they get sick, they run to him and say, oh, will you please pray that the Lord Jesus will make me well. And as soon as they come out of the hospital or the sick bed, right back into the world they go. Like a dog to its vomit or a hog to its wallow, as the scripture said. Just follow him for what good they can get out of him. They just use him for a totem pole or something that they can get from him and don't expect to serve him. That crowd still goes on today. See, there's something about when you recognize that this is the living God. The Christian is happy that this is a living God. That this God is not dead. As David said, it's in Psalms 42, as my heart pants after God. I'm thirsting for God. Why? I'm thirsting for the living God. I'm thirsting for someone I can talk to. As Job said, I know he's there. I can knock on his door. I know he's coming. I don't care what you all say, all your religious beliefs and all your creeds. I don't believe any of that. I will see him. I will talk to him. And even in my flesh, I shall see God. Amen. But for the unbeliever, they don't want an alive God. That's scary business. The Bible tells you that's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Because you know what happened? God doesn't even need necessarily, look at this. Look how crazy people are. He doesn't even need his own word to judge you. You'll judge yourself. You watch somebody. All you have to do is let them do something against you. A sinner now. Let somebody do something against a sinner. What will they do? They will bring the judgment down what you should do to that person. They stole $10 from you. You should charge them $1,000. It's like, well, you lied here. What should I do over here now on the judgment? I said, you judge. You know what? That's why it said they'll be speechless. Because the word was there the whole time anyways. Nobody's ignorant. I don't care what you say, especially in this day where we can find any bit of information you want to know. If you really want to, you can find where I live. You can find when I bought my house. You can find how much I spent on it. You can find how much taxes I pay. Come on. You can find my phone number. You can find my emails. You can find where I am anytime. Why? Because information is widespread now. And the Bible told us that would happen. Knowledge would be increased and they would be running to and fro. See, now I'm in the middle of this one. This was supposed to be a different section. And now I got to jump there and I'm going to have to... It's Habakkuk 2:18 says this, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image and a teacher of lies, of the work of which we're in... that's not what I wanted. Give me a second. I'll find it. I know I have it. It's Amos. That's right. I knew it was in the Old Testament. I had this two in here. Amos 8:11 says this, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine for bread, nor for a thirst for water. Can you say amen?
Amen.
People, they don't have that. I don't care if they don't have two dimes in their name. They still find a Big Mac.
Right.
They still find plenty of pop to drink and plenty of booze and everything else. There is no famine for that around here. But what is there a famine for? But of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. And you want to know why it is? Just done. All right, we're just going to preach. You want to know why it is? It's because God sent it around the world. It's because God recorded it. Because God made it available that all you have to do is type in this man's name and you can find every word he ever said. He's made it to a way to where even if you won't listen to that, he'll send a vessel to your town, to your school, to your Walmart, to your house, and share it with you. He'll show you a picture, the only supernatural vindicated being that there's ever been, and so let some FBI agent, we understand, I'm not even going to get into that, but wrote a statement saying this is vindicated. Come on. Put his face in the sky. And let scientists look at it and say, we have no idea how that could even exist. Yep. And they'll try to rationalize it. And you know what? The devil's really good at that. Yep. He will always make a rationalization for everything. They've got it for every single miracle you can think of. They've got some kind of way that you can rationalize it. Amen. The walls of Jericho, they say they marched around. And they said really it was because there was 2 million people tromping around. And that's why they did it 7 days on the last day, because that broke up all the stones. Made it nice and easy, so when they set that big shock wave of horns and noise, that's what knocked it down. And you know what? Even if that was, they wiped out a city with no training, with no warriors, with people walking in a desert. How do you explain that? They've got that Moses crossed on the bed of reeds. Isn't that right? But for some reason, all the Egyptians don't know how to walk across reeds, and they all fell over and died. They try to rationalize it all. They say Jesus, he didn't really raise from the dead. They gave him something that knocked him out for a few hours, and then they put him in the tomb, and he woke up and moved a boulder out of the way from the inside. That was sealed with 7 Roman seals, that's right, with soldiers at the door, whose lives were on the line if he got out or if anyone got in. The executioner's lives were on the line if he didn't die on the cross. Oh, but it just happened that way. Scoffers in the last days. That's all it is. And they're doing the same thing with the message. Oh, that was only, you know, they had the prayer cards. They would write their illnesses and all, and that's how he discerned everyone. How come there were so many times, service after service in front of thousands, he would say, now you without prayer cards don't do anything. I want somebody that don't have one. He said, look, I'm not even going to look, and I'll tell you where you are. You're over there. Famine in the land. Why? Because God gave it and they said no. They said we'll go somewhere else. And you know what? Everywhere else is death. It's just like Israel. The natural land of Israel. You go to Israel, once the Jews went back there, it's luscious. They've got green all over, but all you do is get about 20 miles out and you've got desert. And that's how too many people are. Even in this message, brother, sister, you better be in the promised land, not on the outside looking in, not reading quotes and say, well, that would be awful nice. No, I need to say, quote is right here. That God is right here. That idol is right in me. See, when God wanted to make an idol, listen, now he did. Come on. He made himself an image. That's what we just read. An image and an idol are the same thing. See, people get all worked up about that, but what did the prophet say? The same God who said don't make any graven images is the same one who said fashion a cherubim, put them on the mercy seat, and I'll meet you there. And he said put cherubims on the wall and make some. See, you got to have understanding that God wanted us to have an image to worship. The difference was it wasn't a picture on a wall that was dead. When he became an image, it said it was Christ. It was a living image. It was something flexible, moldable, that we could worship and it would talk and it would tell us things. And if we needed to learn something today that we didn't know yesterday, it could do that. That's the problem. When you make a denomination, you can do it in this message and make it that it's just this. And it dies. And all of a sudden, we can't be led of the Spirit no more. We can't get led to figure out what we're supposed to do with the internet because the prophet didn't say nothing about it. But then the Holy Ghost comes and he shows that he's still alive and that we still have the same image and he can bring the same revelation that the prophet said, which is so plain, you don't have to miss it. And if it's dragging you away from the Lord, it's the devil. If there's anything getting between you and your prayer life, you don't have to get some spiritual revelation.
Right.
It's the enemy. Yeah. Done. Sealed. Over. When God made an image, He said, when we come to the Lord, when we come to our God, when we come to the idol we're supposed to worship, we need to come as unto a living stone.
Yes.
Not a dead stone, not an image, not a thought, but a person.
Yes.
That was God's idol. Christ is the mystery of God revealed.
Yes.
And you know what? We don't have to go any deeper than that. That's it.
Amen.
And you say, well, where does that put the bride? She's there.
Yes.
She was right there. Hallelujah. People have been making idols of dead things from all the way back in the Old Testament all the way to the end of Revelations. It's spoken of. I'm just going to read these to you. Now listen. Deuteronomy 4:27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, where the Lord shall lead thee. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. What was he trying to say? They're dead. That's all I worried about. Because once something's dead, I don't care about anything else. It can't help me. It's dead. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Habakkuk 2:18 says this, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and a teacher of lies, that the maker of the work trusts therein to make dumb idols? What does it mean to be dumb? Doesn't speak. And Brother Branham, we could go through, he said they make an idol of things, and in an imaginary way, they believe it speaks back.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that. The Lord told me.
Yep.
And they heard it in an imaginary way. How do you know that? Well, first, it's probably not the Word. And even if you could make it the Word, potentially, it never happens. Nothing comes of it. Well, the Lord led me to do that, and you watch it fail. I don't know, brother. I think you might have told you to do that. Because God don't fail. That's one thing Brother Branham said God cannot do. He can't fail. And it would be a lot easier just to back up and say, you know what? I made a mistake. And you know what? The church still love you. Because we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Your pastor probably makes more than all of you combined. Come on, Dad. Come on. Give me one amen. Nobody's going to say it. Thank you, brother. You're not going to get more humble than me, that's for sure. I'm getting proud saying that, ain't I? Praise the Lord. Now let me keep reading there. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple.
Amen.
And some of you that went down the line, the Lord's in his temple.
Amen.
He's still in his temple.
Yes.
Let all the earth keep silent before him. Amen. So you got the beginning of the New Testament, or the Old Testament. You got the end of the Old Testament. Then you got the end of the New Testament, Revelations 9:19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like that unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders and their sorceries and their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now, that's some idols, but do you know people make God an idol? We said there, what is it? It's a totem pole. It's this thing that doesn't get involved in my life, but if I ever need, we'll call it a vending machine. If I ever need anything, I'll go to church this one service, and if God don't do this now, I don't believe it. It was a lie. And the same person won't give you $5 because you didn't shake their hand one time when you didn't even see them. Well, they got an attitude with me. I didn't know you were there today, sir. I'm sorry. Some people come to church late, leave early, and expect you to say hi to them. Preachers included. I'm supposed to just stop and say, hi, brother, God bless you. Okay, back to preaching again. Some people are like that. Why? They're looking for a totem pole. They're looking for something that they can just touch one time. Doesn't have to get involved in their life, but it'll solve all their problems. And then they can go back in the world and do everything they were doing anyways, when that's what's causing their problems. So even if God, we've seen it right in here. We've seen people come and get delivered right here because they've got so desperate, they recognize they need God. And God has been faithful. He has healed them.
He's delivered them. Isn't that right? Wasn't that your sister got delivered right here of a suicidal demon? Sure dead. Left out. But what happens after that? If you don't get right with God and get the good man in the faith, there's nothing keeping him out. Time will only bring all that back. And then people get frustrated and say, well, I thought I was delivered. People think that about healed when they came to the meetings, didn't they? They said, well, why am I getting a headache now? It's just a lump in you. Let it die out. It'll leave. It'll get out of there. You'll get sick in your stomach, but it'll leave. Just always believe. If you don't believe, God is not obligated to anything. That's right. And some people have faith to do that, but that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for a life. He wants a real relationship with you. He wants to be able to call you friend. How can you call someone? I cannot call this pulpit a friend. It's not alive. I can't call this my friend. And sure, a lot of people are trying to call these their friends anymore. God help us. And I've got one more I'm trying to take my time. The World Falling Apart, 1963. Listen to this now. Now, what about the church? What kind of a Messiah is the church looking for today? You, the church, has cried the loudest. So what are we hollering about a Messiah? What are we hollering? Revival in our time, back to this, that, or the other. And what are they looking for to do it? What more do you want? What does the church want anyhow? You say, well, what does that have to do with idols? People have created an idol out of the word revival. It started with the Pentecostals, but I'm telling you, it's rolling right on into this message. Oh, there'll be a mighty stand. That bride will manifest. We will have a real revival then. Our churches will fill up. All the people backslid come back. And we'll know that it's the coming of the Lord. And 10 million people will leave and nobody will notice it. You get me a quote for that one. He said 500. And that around the world you won't find. And he said, well, that's kind of hopeless, brother. No, can I keep reading the quote?
Yes.
We've already got it.
Yes. Amen.
That's the next four words.
Amen.
See, I'm just sold out, brother. Says, I don't care anymore. I don't care about your opinions. I don't care about what you're preaching. If Brother Branham didn't preach that, I don't believe it. And the Bible didn't tell me to believe you. He told me to believe Elijah. He told me that there would be a voice that would come in this age that would reveal the mysteries of God, and that would be it. Hallelujah. It would give me the faith I needed to get out of here. So I'm going to believe that it's already here. And if I don't feel the effects, it's not the word's fault. It's me. I'm looking in the wrong direction. Amen. But I praise God that I've got the Holy Ghost tonight. And He's gave me sight. He's gave me eyes to heaven. I can see the revival is on the bride. And she's catching it. Hallelujah. She's speaking in tongues more than ever. She's healing the sick. She's casting out devils. Amen. Some of you believe that. Some of the rest of you need to jump on board. Amen. We've already got it. Hallelujah. We've already got it. God gave it to us. It's His promise for this hour. We look in the Bible. We see it everywhere through the Bible. Anointed ones come on and made that word live again. Right in the hour for that hour. And we've got the Messiah. This is Him, the Word. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word remains God. A living God. Not a dead God. A living God that can still talk to us. Hallelujah. That can still give us prophetic insight. A group that can hear from God. Hallelujah. We know that it's supposed to take place in this day. We're wanting a Messiah. And God gave us the Messiah. His promise word for this day. It's just waiting for somebody with faith to anoint it and make it live again.
Amen.
Where's that quote in our churches, brother, sister? Oh, God's going to do this. God's going to do that. He did it. He sent Malachi 4. He fulfilled Revelations 10. Amen. Luke 17:30. If you can't see the Son of Man, you are the blindest person on this planet. Because He's been made right in front of you. You can hear from Him.
Sure.
And you know what? Sometimes what you need to do? Open the pages and read.
Amen.
If you can't read, go push play somewhere.
Amen.
That's right. That's the point. We have access. And you think of it like, how stupid am I that I use all this power that God has given in this age? Just even in the internet.
You know, I can just remember three words from a quote, and now I can type those three words in and get the whole thing. My, that was a lot harder back in the day, wasn't it, brother, sister? Man, what was that? Was that 62, 63? I remember it was this name sermon, but he preached that 20 times, and I can't read all 20 of them to find one. God's, everything is to help the Word of God. That's why God allows it. Satan gets in and perverts it, absolutely. But this technology was to help us hear the Word of God. How about we use it for that? Amen. Go and delete all these other apps and just focus on those ones. Recognizing your day and its message. I know I've kept you a long time. It's 12 o'clock now, but I like this food. This is life. It is. It is to the believer. Recognize the day that you're living and the sign of the time. See where everywhere is at, Israel, where the church, where the moral, where the bride is standing. What's left? The next thing. Taking up of the bride. The next thing. Nothing in between there. That's the next thing. And I already told you what I believe why we're still here. The grace of God. That's it. God wasn't waiting on Russia, brothers that were here 50 years ago. That was ready. America was ready. Come on. Israel was ready. Everything was ready. What stopped it? It was me. But God's grace to me and to you. Hallelujah. God knows those that are His, and He will not lose a one. Will He stop all things from happening for that one soul? Yes. Yes. And this should give you a dependency on God. I was just teaching this today in math. Don't worry, Sister Val, keep it simple. She don't like math, I know that. I don't mean to embarrass you. I could have said that about just about most of you, right? Just think we're zooming in real far real quick here. And this is 1.9999, and this is 2.0001. You say, my, that's mighty close. Do you understand? You understand everything in life by intervals. You can't get exactly 2 inches. All you have to do is keep zooming in and realize you're a little bit off. And then you zoom in a little more, a little bit off, a little bit off, a little bit off. And you do that with the Word. You watch some preacher try to get it figured out. And then you realize, well, you're a little bit off here. Well, it's close enough. No, it's not. It's either all or none. And he said, well, that's impossible, brother. That's why you need God. You can't do it. I want you to measure something that's exactly 2 feet long, and I want to be able to write every single decimal place forever as zeros. Oh my. That it's 2.000. No, not 1 trillionth of an inch off. None of that. But see, God works that way. He works in perfection. He doesn't work in intervals. The day of the rapture is a perfect time.
Amen.
It's not 1 second, millisecond, nanosecond. I don't care how much you want to break it up. It's nothing off. When the last one's ready, it will happen. What's the next thing? Taking up with the bride. Of course, every church is looking for a great thing. The Pentecostals say, glory to God, there will come a day that they're going to do this and they're going to do that. See, they are professors. They do believe. Like one time, Caiaphas said, isn't it right that one man should die and not the whole nation perish? He was the high priest, the Bible said. The reason he said that, he prophesied not knowing what he was saying. But did he realize the real truth of it? Of course he didn't. Did he realize the real truth of it, that he was sacrificing the very God that he claimed to be the high priest of? So is it today. They're looking yonder somewhere for a great time to come. I'm talking about making the word revival an idol. That it never does any. We can't do anything now because the revival's not here yet. We can't heal the sick. There's no revival yet. Once we get to the revival, once the real revival gets here, and what is it? It's a totem pole that we can never touch. You know what it is? It's a bluff because they know deep down they don't have it. But there's one group. There's a group on this earth now that knows that they've got something. They've got not just something, but someone that got into my life. He changed me. He made me something different than what I was. Hallelujah. And it still lives. It still lives. When I need a need, He's there. When I need healing, He's there. He's alive today. What's God's idol for the day? It's still Christ. But you are the Christ of the hour. Call me a heretic all you want. The Holy Ghost is Christ. And I've been baptized with it. You've been baptized with it. And you are God's idol for the day. Not a thing that we post on a wall. You're a living, moving, breathing example of what people ought to worship. You said, oh, you, not you as the flesh. You understand that. It's the God in you. But do you... Hallelujah. Can God give His glory to anyone besides Himself?
Nope.
Once you know who you are. Let me show you something that'll put the coffin to that doctrine real quick. I caught that little thought. You can't take glory from God. Well, what if He gives it to me? Is He allowed to? Is God big enough to do with what He wants, with what He has? I'm going to read. Actually, you're going to turn to this one because I don't want to make sure you know I didn't make this up. This is all inspiration. Revelation 3. Now let's just start here at verse 7. Talking about the Philadelphian age. You might have never seen this before, but it's still here. It's still the Word of God. That's why I love how Jesus said it. He said, look, the Bible said you are God's. How do you explain that? Doesn't quite fit in our doctrine, but we got all the 99% of our scripture. He said, no, the scripture cannot be broken.
Right.
Your doctrine is off on this word. What do you do? What's your answer? They didn't have anything. He said, what are you going to say when I tell you that David said unto his, he said, my Lord has said unto, or sit on my right hand. He said, how does he call him his Lord and his son at the same time?
Yeah.
And they sat there and said, I don't know. Jesus didn't fuss with them. All he did was prove by the word, you don't have it. But I love the simple Hummel didn't have to figure all that out because they had the May and the Word there. There was a woman that was a prostitute. Hallelujah. Now all she did was say, you're a prophet.
Yeah.
And he didn't go into deep doctrine and try to confuse her or nothing like that. He said, you believe that? What if I tell you that you've had five husbands, the one you're living now is not yours? You're a prophet. So went out into the street and started telling everybody, he's here, it's the Messiah, we're done. Hallelujah. See how quickly God could give the revelation to a humble heart? Where are those humble hearts in our message, brother, sister? Everybody's fussing, fighting, figuring this out, that out. Well, I got a quote for this, and you got a quote for that. Where's the revelation? Hallelujah. You love the Lord tonight. Revelations 3, 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Listen. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. You give me another message that can explain that doctrine. The angel came and said, don't worship me, worship God alone. Here's Jesus himself saying, those of you believers here in this age, I'm going to make those bunch of devil worshipers come over here and worship before your feet. But then we had a message come and say, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. That Christ on us, it's still Him. There's still worshiping. There's not two gods. There's not three. There's not a million. But God has attributes. But He's still one God. So when He forced these to come worship before His children, they were worshiping before the same God. When did the bride become the bride? Never. She was. When did she become queen of heaven? She doesn't. She is. She was always there. Hallelujah. Brother Andrew, you're going out on tangents. No, I'm not. I've quoted everything about this. Convinced and concerned, 1962. And when the Holy Ghost comes into you, do you have it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you don't get it.
Amen.
Well, I don't know how. Yes, you do. Just repent and quit lying yourself.
That's right.
When you come, the Holy Ghost comes into you. He makes you a new creature. Yes, sir. He makes you a new creature. And He puts Himself within you, and you are His idol. You. I like how he said, you, not someone else, you. He is living inside of you, working and moving His own way in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, my. Let me go back to that quote I was reading earlier where he's talking about making revival your idol. Now, let me keep reading here. It says, so is it today. They're looking yonder somewhere for a great time to come. Why? Go in the businessmen conventions with them. They say, glory to God. Then preachers get up and just stir the crowd and saying, there is coming a great revival. The hand of the Lord is going to be upon the earth. And how the people are going forth running. And don't realize that's under the trumpets for Israel. You think I'm making stuff up when I preach follow the rapture sign, not tribulation signs. You're looking too many, and it's in the message. Brother, sister, if I've got any voice, I'm going to make sure we say the truth in this and not lie. People are looking for blessings that God promised to Israel, not to the bride. You have one blessing, Him. You have one position, heavenly places, and you have one. Get out. Say, well, I want to save the world. That's why we're getting wrapped up in politics again. We got to get the right men in there. And you know what will happen? He will deceive you. Amen. He will get things fixed. He will do this, that, or the other thing. But the whole time it's wormy into the core. All they have to do is overnight change everything to the gold standard. The Catholic Church, 1 ounce of gold will be worth $10 trillion U.S. dollars. And they'll pay it off in minutes. But they own you. And you do what they say. And if your house is too big because you're not a Catholic, you'll move. And they'll put a Catholic in there. Don't put no investment. I don't care if you pay your house off. You don't own it. But there's a house, says Suzanne, they can't touch. And that's why Jesus said, put your heart in things where moss and rust. I don't care how nice a car you get. You drive it in Northwest Ohio, it'll be rusted in 2 years. And they did it on purpose. They changed the salt into liquid so you can't even get it off anymore. You used to be able to at least rinse it off. Good luck now. Free sermon. But God help us. It doesn't matter. None of those things are all falling apart. Amen. And don't realize that's under the trumpets for Israel. Why do they do it? It's because that they are Christian professors and don't realize. Neither did Caiaphas realize what he was doing. And they don't realize that they're rejecting the very message that's sent to them. Amen. Every part of the scripture, we've went through day after day, week after week, until it's undisputable, the truth. Hallelujah. You don't have to go far looking for God. He's alive. If you find life, you can find God. You can look at a tree and find God. You can look at the natural or animals and things like that and find God. You can look at brothers and sisters and find God. You can look at a sinner and find God. Because what is it to not have God? You can see that. It doesn't make sense. You watch somebody puff away a cigarette. Back in Brother Branham's day, they at least had a debate whether it was good or bad. Now we know. There's no debate about it. They put it right there on the package. This will kill you. You know what? Why? It shows you that without God, you're insane. You don't even have your own mind. You have the mind of a beast. You have the serpent's mind again, where you go based only on instinct and on feelings and on what makes you feel good. God, help us to not live that way. That is the exact opposite definition of a Christian. Eternal life is living for others. Hallelujah. I love you all too much to lie to you. I got to tell you the truth. But you watch sometimes, well, even when it comes to our time and our money, people say, I'm just too busy, ain't got time. No, you're putting in things of the world. I ain't got money. No, you're buying things of the world. Too many of us got money to do what we want to do, but when it comes to trying to help somebody else, we ain't got nothing anymore. And I'm not saying that just because I think I'm something special. No, it's a lifestyle. That's not just a lifestyle, not just something you're faking, it's your life. Your whole desire is, how can I help someone else? How do I get that way, brother? You don't get that way. He is that way. You need to die so He can just live. Amen. Then you'll become His idol. That's why I've had to strike against that legalistic idea. Brother Brandon wasn't bringing legalistic ideas when he preached the statue of perfect man, like too many message preachers have went and told us that we got to build this, we got to do this and that and that and everything. What did he say? Get born again, and these things will automatically add themselves. Amen. But you still got to be spiritually minded. You're still a warfare. We're still all growing. The prophet himself said, I'll find it. I actually just got done reading that. Hallelujah. I'm going to find it. The prophet said at the end, how many believes Brother Abraham had the Holy Ghost? Amen. Hallelujah. Look what he prayed at the end of this. If that's really all. Hallelujah. He says, I pledge. Last paragraph. I pledge this morning to Him with all my heart that by His help and by His grace, I pray that I'll seek daily without ceasing until I feel every one of these requirements flowing in this little old stature of mine till I can be a manifestation of the living Christ. Hallelujah. What is it? Is you're not done. If you're here, you're not done. We ought to know who we are. We ought to have a revelation. But if you're still here, you've got room to grow.
That's right. That's the point. It's not to get legalistic about it. It's that, Lord, I want to please you better today than I did yesterday. I want to show more of Christ than I did the day before. And if you ever get stagnant, what did you do? You made God an idol again. That's dead. If something's alive, it's living, it's moving, it's breathing, and it says things every day. Do you understand? It's fluid. This isn't a rock building. What are we supposed to come to Christ as? A living stone. What are we supposed to come as? Lively stones. It's alive. So you think of a seed growing. Yes, it's growing. It's manifesting. But why? Because that's just what it is. And what's it becoming? It's becoming the image of what it was when it started. And Christ planted us, hallelujah, in himself that we might come up and be the same thing. But you know what it says? You start putting off fruit. You watch a Christian get the Holy Ghost, get the joy of the Lord, start doing it. And they'll put off a bunch of fruit right off the bat, won't they? And then the trials will come. What is it? Brother, the Bible says it. Jesus said, I'll prune it. I'll cut these things off so it can bring forth more fruit. I thought I was supposed to have joy and peace. Well, you do, but it's in the inside, not on your flesh. Until the resurrection, your flesh is your enemy. I can't stand when we say, this isn't holy flesh. It will be, yes, not now. It is your enemy. It will never not be your enemy. It's the only, if you can defeat that enemy, and you can in Christ, all these other so-called enemies you think you have, just little pebbles on the beach, isn't that right? Just walk right over. Don't even worry about that at all. Why? That's what Paul said. He said, oh my, I've been on shipwreck. I've been out in the deep. People have stoned me. None of us have been stoned and whipped yet. All right. So, and he said, none of that moves me. But then he said, oh, wicked man that I am. When good's there, when I get a good thought, there's evil. And the things I want to do, I don't do. He said, what wretched man that I am. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Trying to find a good place to stop. Hallelujah. Acts 17, join the word tonight. Yeah. Amen. There we go. Started getting real quiet. I figured you'd get mad at me or something. Let's turn there. This will be the last scripture tonight, Lord willing. Acts 17. Hallelujah. You love him tonight? Acts 17 and 26. This is right after Paul. I guess we'll just start at 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, with whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that it is he that is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Can you believe that tonight? He's never far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets or your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of that the Godhead is likened unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and men's devices. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He has appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. How is he giving us assurance? He's saying, look, you're the image of God. You're in the image of God. You breathe and move. And he said, all these things come because you are like him. You are his offspring. You are a son or daughter of God. And we all know from the laws of nature, if your duck has a son, it's a duck. So whatever ducks do, it ought to do as well, or something's messed up somewhere. So if God has a son, and he said, even the world is testifying. He said, your poet said this. Come on. Now I tell a lot of message people that when they tell me their doctor said, well, your prophet that you claim to said this. How about you believe that? He's talking to these bunch of superstitious people saying you have an inscription here to the unknown God, yet I'm telling you, your own poets have written that we are his offspring. And the laws of nature show that if we're his offspring, he ought to be like us. So don't think of him as wood and hay and all these things, or think of him as things of the world. He's Jesus.
Amen.
That's what you think of him as. And you don't have to figure out what would Jesus do in this day. He gave us an example. He sent a man to show us what Jesus would do in this day. And what really makes Brother Branham stick out more than anyone else is his character. Absolutely. The man, and I'm sorry, but the power of God in his ministry outshines everyone anyways. But his character outshines him 1,000 more times. I always love the story. You probably know this, but I'm just going to having a good time tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Perry Green was riding with Brother Branham. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he went on about Leo and Gene and how they were extortioning money, lying, saying this or that. Brother Branham knew all about it. Sure did. And he was going on and on and on about it. And I can't remember, it was maybe 15, half hour or something like that. And Brother Perry said, I was just getting madder and madder and madder to them guys. And then we got a little ways. He said, hey, up there on the hill, isn't that where Leo and Gene's at? Why don't we go see him? And Brother Perry said, Brother Branham, you just spent the last half hour making me madder as a hornet against them. Why do you want to go see him? And he said, this was, and I think I'm paraphrasing, I hope I'm saying it right, but you give me grace anyways. He said, this is the one time Brother Branham really rebuked me. He said, Brother Perry, I'm disappointing you. He said, that doesn't mean we quit loving him. You show me somebody, much less in Christianity, but just even in the world, that can do that. Know that somebody's lying about them, stealing behind their back, and still say, we're going to keep loving them.
Right.
But that is God's idol. Saying, I can't do that. Of course you can't. Don't try. And Brother Perry realized, you're right. You don't need to give it another thought. Somebody does you wrong, look. I'm just preaching. All right. I've had to deal with this myself. I'm a minister. I understand that. Some people think you're highly respected. Not always. I know what it's like to feel rejected and stand alone. Sure do. I know what it's like to have people say wrong and do wrong and go on presumptions and not even ask you about it. Before you know it, you're judged before you even had a chance to say anything. Sure. You're not free from that as a minister. Actually, you're probably more susceptible to it. That's right. Because somebody hears something you said and misinterpret it, go tell this person and not tell them what it was, and they'll come back around. Before you know it, they've applied something that this guy said to you, and you don't even know what it's talking about. Well, don't you all do that there? You ever had that happen in your church? What are you talking about? It's a rumor of the devil. But I'm just going to, I'll use a name here, but that's about it. Brother Craig Boer down there in Lima, Ohio. He's pastor there. But here, a few years ago back when I first started the church, you all know that wasn't the prettiest thing in the world, and that's all right. God does things, sometimes it ain't pretty, but I had thus said the Lord, so I did it. Maybe I messed up somewhere else, maybe I'm permissive. Well, I don't care. When I got the will, I did it. And I don't have no respect for persons. I don't care who you are. If God tells me something, that's what I'm going to do. Because I'd much rather offend every single human on the planet before I offend him.
Amen.
That's right. And if that makes me an outcast, so be it. I'm just sold out. I don't know. Maybe you still care about somebody else's opinion. I don't. If Jesus is happy, then I'm happy. If Jesus ain't happy, I'm not happy. And you all know when he ain't happy. Actually, you probably know that better than when you know he's happy. You just kind of do it the opposite. Well, I don't feel condemned, so it must be pretty good today. That's at least how I usually live. Amen. Or convicted, I should say, not necessarily condemned. But had a situation, you know, details aren't really important. But the point is, and Brother Craig admitted these things, so that I'm sure he don't mind. That's one thing I admire about the man. He's an honest man. And they had a minister's meeting, and they didn't let me come. They presented that I did this, that, or the other thing. And I responded back and said, brothers, according to the Bible, if you had an ought against me, you were supposed to come to me. Now I got like three or four of you, and I don't even know what I'm supposed to do because you left the scriptures. And you know what I've realized? A lot of people don't like that. They don't like you. They feel like you're singling them out. But that's what the Bible said. If I've got an ought with Brother John, I'm talking to Brother John. I'm not going to tell my neighbors. I'm not going to whitewash. I'm going to come to him, and I'm going to say what was wrong. And we can work it out right there. That's Matthew 18 if you want to go find it. If we can't work it out, and I know, thus said the Lord, I got something that he's done wrong, and I'm supposed to find other witnesses and bring it to him. And if he doesn't fess up, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to bring it to the church and say, this man will not get right with God. We treat him like a heathen and take him out of the blood until he gets right. Oh, you can't do that. The Bible from Jesus' own lips told you to do that. Why? Because you want him saved. Because you've got a revelation that sin is more important, or getting rid of that sin is more important than that brother's feelings.
or your feelings or whatever. I could have used me as an example. Brother John is a son of God. I believe that. I got no odds with Brother John. I got no odds with any of you. Amen. I can say that with a pure heart. Amen. And even these brothers, I didn't. I just didn't know what to do. And I responded back to the brother. It wasn't necessarily Brother Craig, but he was the kind of the head of the whole ministry meeting, getting together. And he said, just, you know, have him sit out or whatever. And I said, brothers, you kind of judged me before I even had a chance to say anything about it. I don't know what to do now. So I don't even want to talk to any of you about it. I'm just, whatever. I just let it go. Well, Brother Craig came. He emailed me personally. He said, you know what, brother? You're right. I said, I did. I judged you before I let you talk. I want to come down. He came on a Saturday. He's a pastor, too. We met on a Saturday right over here at Cosmos and met, talked it out. When he said, you know what, brother? I'm sorry that I judged you before I heard your case. You know what I did? I forgave him. And I know it's hard for most people to do that, but it leaves you. You don't even care anymore. I got no hard feelings. I don't want you to do penance for 10 years. It's gone. It's done. You said sorry. The Bible said I should forgive you 490 times, and this is just one. I think I can handle that. 70 times 7. 490. All right. It's time for us just to be the bride. And you know what? That brought fellowship back. Why? Because men were honest. This man, Brother Craig's he's a well-known man. He's a respected man. He was humble enough to come talk to me, a nobody. I'm just going to be honest. I'm born out of season. I feel just like Paul. I don't care. He said, I was born out of season, but I'm behind the very chiefest apostles. I've seen God, and I ain't trying to brag. I'm just telling the honest truth. I've seen God do more miracles here than all the other churches I've been to combined. I'm saying, at least in the services I was in, I've seen more here in 2.5 years. Oh, you can't say that. Okay, what about your prophet that said, God has done more in my ministry than he did in, or Jesus did more in my ministry than his own?
That's right.
See, we just have to be honest. But you know what it is? It's just teaching what the prophet told us. It's not because I'm special. That gets our faith up. That's right. Instead of believing some devil's lie, we believe what the prophet told us, that all things truly are possible. And here it is. And restoration's possible. And forgiveness is possible. And not having a grudge is possible. And not holding a complex is possible. And forgiving a person who doesn't even care about you is possible.
Amen.
And you know what? It sets you free.
Yes, it does.
I have no more time, Brother Robinson, for grudges. I got too much to worry about any grudge that I know the Bible already said will taint my whole experience with God. Amen. But I want God to, he gives us an assurance. How? He lives in us. That's our assurance for God, that we are his living, breathing, moving idol. My God is not a dead idol. He's a living idol. He is the definition of what we're supposed to worship, and he's alive.
Amen.
That's why when the prophet preached statue of a perfect man, I'm just going to read this and then I'm going to close it up. Praise God tonight. So when you surrender your complete being, then the Holy Spirit just pours through you in these virtues. Then you're a living tabernacle.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Not a dead tabernacle, not some building, a living tabernacle. Then people look and say, that's a man full of virtue, knowledge. He believes the word. Temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, full of the love of the Holy Ghost. See, there he is walking around. What is it? A stature that unbelievers can look and say, there is a Christian. There is a man or a woman who knows what they're talking about. You never seen a kinder, sweeter, godlier person. You're sealed. A sealed shows on both sides. Whether you're coming or going or coming, you see the seal just the same. There you are. See, when a man or a woman possesses this, and he's talking about that whole pyramid there, then the capstone comes down and seals them into the kingdom of God, which is the Holy Ghost. Then the word coming from here manifests itself through each one of these beings and makes this a complete being, a tabernacle of the living God, a walking, living example of Christianity. What Christ was, these people are, because his life is in there. They are in Christ, and their life is dead and hidden Christ through God and sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12, that's right. See, you reckon yourself dead, then you're born of faith, then virtue and all these other things is added to you until you're a perfect living image of God. That's wonderful. I was listening to the prophet, just turned it on before we left here for church. And you might recognize, if you ever listened to Greatest Battle Ever Fought, anybody ever listen to that sermon?
And it's confused a lot because he says the soul and the spirit this way. A lot of people say, well, what's up with that? And I knew it. I remembered it. When I first heard Greatest Battle Ever Fought, it's 1962. Don't get distracted. Stay focused here. I'll give 5 minutes, tops. It's 1962. I knew I'd listened to a sermon. The Lord led me years ago to a sermon that I played right after that, where Brother Branham explained it was this way. That the soul and the spirit were actually the other way. And for years, I'm like, I know it. And I've had ministers tell me, we just infer that it's changed. And I'm like, I know it's not. I know he said it the other way. And I could not find it. Here I was, just listening today. Played right there on the tape. It's a Thinking Man's Filter, 1965. The evening service. I don't remember but you go listen to it, he'll talk about it. The outside circle is your feelings and stuff. The inside circle is your will and your emotions and all that stuff. But on the inside of the inside is the seed. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. The soul. He'll say it over and over again. Why? Because of what I'm preaching tonight. God's image, his idol, had to be right. The Pentecostals had it switched. You say, that's why they would get anointed in the spirit, but thinking that that was the inside of the inside, they'd say, I'm right. But then the image of God came and said, no, it's the other way. You've got it wrong. You've got it on the outside, and the inside of you is a rotten devil that hates God, and you don't even know it. You're an anointed one at the end time. And there it is, laying in those tapes, laying in those messages for us to eat on and to feed on and to become this. That's all you have to do. Believe it. Hallelujah. Why do we have these tapes? Do we even play them? Come on, brother, sister. Do you read it? Do you even know what it's all about? Or are you just guessing? No, you can. And you know what? I'm tired of being here. And if you're home back, if I'm home back, let's get right and go home. Amen. Stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Flow through me. It's going to be C night. I know I got the number here somewhere. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Let me find real quick. 5, that's it. 566. I was looking at 6. You enjoy the word tonight.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Go ahead, Dan. Y'all know this.
Holy Spirit.
Wide now.
Through me.
No reserves.
Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit, flow through me.
in one mind and one accord with the Spirit of God tonight. Prophets in the Bible, in the New Testament, would say the day of the Lord is at hand. We understand that in God's time, that wasn't even 2 days ago. But had God told them it'd be 2,000 years, the prophet tells us they would have laxed and said, "Well, we got time." Brother, sister, we're not in that same time at all, anyways. We're at the end. If you really want a visual, if you're running on a track, you got a whole nother lap to go, you got 10 laps to go yet, you're not going to sprint. You're going to take your time. You're going to pace yourself. But if you can get a revelation where we are in time, that we've come across that last corner, and you can see that finish line there, and that's it. That's all we got to do. You'll give it all you got. Because you know, that's it. Once I get there, it's over. We need to quit holding reserves. Any sort of time to this life. Are you hearing me tonight? And say, "Lord, I want to give you my all. I want to give you all my heart." There's not tomorrow. You're not guaranteed. If there's any sort of bleep in your heart, the Holy Spirit is not pleased. I didn't say Brother Andrew's not pleased. I said the Holy Spirit's not pleased. Christian, we're going in perfection. We're going back perfect before God. And you can't have that condemnation in there. But God's given you an antidote. He's given you a blood. It'll take it away. How? Believe. Believe it with all your heart. To the point where you say, "Lord, I'm not that anyways. I'm not supposed to lie. I'm not supposed to steal. I'm not supposed to have this temper. You told me to have temperance, not blow off the handle. You told me to have patience, and here I am running to and fro and nervous all the time. You don't need all that." Hallelujah. Give Him your all tonight. When you worship Him, can you give Him all your heart? Are you worried about somebody else's opinion? Hallelujah. Are you afraid to worship in spirit and in truth? Oh, hallelujah. Some people only raise half a hand, some halfway up. Well, how about you just surrender? All of it. Just surrender all of it. Glory to God. Amen. That's right, brother, sister. Just say, "What does that mean?" Well, you got a heart of faith behind that. That'll whip devils. Amen. That'll tear down kingdoms of the enemy. Hallelujah. You're a soldier. Everyone in this room, I've watched whip devils. But then I've watched them whip you. Don't let it happen. There's no reason for that. And I'm right there with you. I understand. I've seen the enemy get the victory on me. Yes, sir. And you know what? I've only found one way to beat him, brother, sister. Believe in God. Believe it in the grace of God. Believe it in the power of God. Believe in what we preach tonight, that He's the living God. He's not some dead idol. He didn't just statically save me. He knew everything I'd do from time to eternity. And He still died for me. He still came to me. He still gave me the message. He still gave me the Holy Ghost. He still told me the requirements of this age and still said I could make it. Hallelujah. I don't need to be intimidated. I don't need to be afraid. I just need to believe. Glory to God. Can you muster the faith to believe this? With all your heart, that's you. If you're not living right, that's what's wrong. That's it. You don't need to look no deeper. You don't believe yet. You still believe that you're still going to cheat and lie and steal. It might not be out there in open, but we already discussed that, didn't we? The little white lies, the little embarrassments. You're too afraid to be just what you are. That's the thing. You're God's idol. There's no cookie cutter religion. You're a part of God that I can't be. I'm a part of God you can't be. Hallelujah. But you're His idol, brother, sister. Don't wait for God to move. He's already moved. Don't wait for God to come to this service. I'm telling you, if you're waiting, He's already here. Amen. He's what's moved on your heart to even start getting right with Him. It's the grace of God that leads you to repentance. Can you believe that with all your heart tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shame. God showed me something the other day. I hope you're okay with me sharing this. Some of you blow me away in sincerity. Some of you make me ashamed of myself. But at the same time, you don't have any faith to go with it. If that don't apply to you, it's not for you, but there's plenty of you who will seek God and seek God and seek God and seek God. But you can't seem to find faith to believe it. And then you look at somebody like me and think that I've done something more than you to get it successful. It's nothing to do with that. I just trust the grace of God. I'm not even in the picture at all. I've moved aside. If I was trying to bring my life back here, oh, I'd have quit a long time ago. I wouldn't even stand before the presence of God. I'd be just like Isaiah. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Get me out of here. But then a coal touched me. You've got to believe that. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Then a coal's touched you. And your iniquity's purged. And you're holy before God. Now apply that faith. Hallelujah. Raise out of unbelief. Come on now. I'm not just saying words. There's a few of you that's pressing through. The rest of you need to be praying for them. Amen. There's a bride here in Defiance that's going to be ready for the rapture. Hallelujah. I don't care if it's five. I don't care if it's one. God is sending His word to get that one ready. Glory to God. I believe she's all around the world, but I believe she's here too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just make it right. Just make it right. Don't put up a front with God. Don't lie to Him. He already knows. You might as well just be real. If you've lied to somebody, fess up to it right now and then go make it right with that person. Hallelujah. You know that's the Holy Spirit working. He won't let that stuff stay in your heart. He wants it out because He loves you too much to leave you that way. Hallelujah. Saying, I can't handle this trial, Lord. Don't you never let that thought come in your mind. That'll defeat you right now. Oh, there's too much peer pressure. There's too much of unbelief. There's too many distractions in my house. God put you there by foreordination by His Spirit. Don't quit now. Don't you see that finish line right there? Don't quit now. You're going to make it. Our loved one's going to make it too. Hallelujah. Yes, they are. You've got to believe that. There's no one else to believe for your loved ones but you. You are God's idol to get to them. Amen. You all know that's the same way you came in. You saw someone that had this. And you believe that. That's God. I don't care if it was even Brother Branham. You still believed in a living God. And that's what brought you in. Why would it be any different for the next one? It's never been different. Eternal life has moved from believer to believer to believer to believer. We could trail it all the way back to Adam if you wanted to. But that's where we came from. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit's having His way tonight. I thank Him for it. I think that He's the same. I don't have to worry about nothing. Glory to God. What comes tomorrow doesn't matter. What comes tonight doesn't matter. I'm going home. I'm going home. Are you convinced? Come on. Are you convinced that that's you? That you've heard from your theophany? Hallelujah. If you're seeking God, I'm telling you, we can pray for you. That's great, but we have. Others have prayed for you. I could show you another quote Brother Branham talks about revival and says, and says people do that with ministers. Say, oh, if I only could see Oral Roberts, then I'd get healed. But that's not true. If you could only believe, you'd get healed. If you could only believe, you'd get delivered. If you could only believe, God would fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's right. Praise God. And if He has, don't stop short of adoption. Become an adopted son of God. Get on the field and do something for God. Hallelujah. Know who you are. Stand your ground. Be a witness to little children, to old people. I don't care where you are. All in between. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so happy, just even as a pastor, to have people that believe. You think it's simple, but it's still the Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God. I'm just going to let Him have His way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory to God.
Worship Him now. Whatever He wants. That's why we came. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. If you don't, if you got condemnation, you got to get the faith to get out of that. And you can't get it but by asking God. So you might as well just put your whole heart out there. Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quit worrying about some neighbor. Quit worrying about getting out of here in time. And get right with God. I'm not presuming. Somebody is resisting that. Get right now. I don't care if you got to scream. I don't care if you got to shout and embarrass yourself. Maybe that's why you're getting nowhere. You're too embarrassed to get embarrassed. There's no such thing as some dried-eyed confession. Get right. Put it all out there. Don't be a hypocrite. Be just wrong before you're a hypocrite. Hallelujah. God can't deal with a hypocrite. There's nothing He can do for you until you're honest with yourself. You say, Lord, I believe this word. I know it's true, but it isn't living in me. What's wrong? And if you already know what it is, put it on the altar of God. Get right. Say, Lord, burn it out of me. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm not going to identify with it. I'm not going to worship that idol that I'm allowed to lie as long as the pastor don't know. I'm allowed to steal. I'm allowed to take advantage of this person or that person. God forgive you. He sees it all. He's saying, I ain't got time. I wonder if I could just have a record of what happens on your phone for a week. I think I could find you have time. Now we need to take that and apply it to God. He already knows every single thing you do. I don't got time to pray. God forgive you. Yes, you do. I don't got time to help someone else. God forgive you. Yes, you do. Hallelujah. I'm looking for a real revival. What is that? People that are right with God. No point in quickening the wrong seed. We're here to quicken the original seed. That means all the sin's got to be settled. It's got to be before you. It's got to be done. Hallelujah. Brother, you don't know what this man did to me. Forgive him right now or you ain't getting nowhere. Some of us had to forgive a lot more than what you probably do. You heard a few examples I got. Some of you got worse than that. Church is running right under the bus. That's right. But God called you to it. You don't forgive them, you'll get no forgiveness. That's right. Don't play games with God. When the Bible speaks of perfect faith, of moving mountains and things, you know what it tells you to do? Forgive. Hallelujah. He loves you tonight. I'm telling you, He loves you. He won't let you stay that way. Tonight's the night things change. Praise God. Take that for yourself. Say, that was for me, Lord. That was for me. Things changed tonight. I know mama's praying for me. I know my grandma prays for me. I know my brother prays for me. But Lord, I've got to believe this. Hallelujah. I got to believe this until it's done. It's settled. Until I'm passed from death unto life. You don't have to worry about if you got the Holy Ghost. When you get it, you know. Glory to God. You're not the same. You can't be the same. Somebody dies, they're not the same. Something changes. Praise God. Praise God. We're having an altar call now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship Him now. If you want to sing with Dad, that's fine. Praise the Lord. Think of one another. Be led by the Spirit. Don't wait on me. Wait on God. And if God tells you to do something, you're at liberty to do what He tells you to do. Do it now. Do it fast. Always obey the Lord. Always obey the Lord. He's always right. Hallelujah. Care for one another. Love one another. Believe for one another. Saying, I'm not worthy. Of course you're not. Just get right and believe. Believe for yourself, then believe for your brothers. Believe for your sisters. Believe for these little ones. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See how sweetly it just got there? Praise God. Just keep pressing right on. Defile it, take it by force. Tell the devil he's a liar. Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
course. Jesus Christ, in the name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Is that your only desire? Lord, I want to be near you.
You feel His presence.
Glory to God.
I have a longing in my heart for you.
Just be honest. Just be sincere. Just be simple. Come to a living God. Yes, I'm not longing for a totem pole, a vending machine. I'm longing for a person. Somebody I can talk to. Someone that'll talk back by giving me the Holy Ghost. Talk back by delivering me from this oppression of the devil. That'll talk back and heal my body. Glory. Oh, open your hearts wide to Him. Say, Lord, just come through every part of my heart. I got nothing to hide, Lord. I don't want anything in my closets. I don't want any leaven in this house. Lord, I'm sweeping it out by faith because you told me to, Lord. I got the blood on the door. I've done everything you told me. Come, Lord, and show me that it's right. Glory to God. He will. He'll give you assurance. Why? By proving He's still alive. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that presence. Oh, there's nothing can stand before Him. Thank you, Jesus. Say, you're such a loser. Praise God. Praise God.
I have a longing.
You can't hide nowhere. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
To feel His presence, I have a longing in my heart for
you. Yeah, just keep playing that. I just want to keep encouraging you. Don't stop short. Wait till you know. Heard of service after service after service. I bet you could even raise your hand. How many people have even seen the presence of God right here in the building? Not felt it, but seen it. It's just exactly what the prophet said. He says, just a milky whiteness all over everything. Raise your hand if you've seen that before here. Why? He's still the same. He's still the same. And I believe this message with all my heart. It is the only one true living God. He's nowhere else. Glory. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yield yourself now. Yield yourself. Let the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit here now? Amen. That's just the Holy Spirit then. He's here. Believe it. Don't get legalistic. Believe it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Get as simple as you know how to be right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I dismissed 15 minutes ago, but the Holy Spirit's not going to. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Total surrender. You want total deliverance? Give total surrender right now. Don't hold nothing back. All of it on the line. Don't worry about mama. Don't worry about daddy. Don't worry about brother. Don't worry about sister. Don't worry about son. Don't worry about daughter. You worry about Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you for visiting us tonight. Thank you, Lord, proving yourself the same, being our witness of the resurrection. Oh, glory to God. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done. That you know you need to make right, give it to Him tonight.
It is no secret.
Don't be afraid to lose it.
What God
Peter said, we've left family. He said, I'll give you 100-fold. I'll give you eternal life. Give it all to Him. It's worth the investment. Glory to God.
He'll
speaking to you now. Glory.
With arms wide open.
That's His arms. Yes, Lord Jesus.
He'll pardon you.
Glory. Glory, glory.
It is no secret what God.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah. His name is called.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory to God. Yes, Lord, once more.
Emmanuel.
With all your heart. Glory.
Emmanuel.
Yes, Lord.
His name is called.
Thank you, Lord.